Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Let me tell you something. In all the institutions that God created, family, government, the church, we are the watchdogs to assist the shepherds. And we can't be silent. We have to bark and ask God to help you to listen to those lambs. And then you have to see. Have to see who they're with. The families of their friends. Where they go.
The truth is, the church must bring light into the sexual darkness of our country. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young concludes his message, Raising Lambs Among Wolves, and encourages you to shine the light of Christ into our dark culture because it's the only hope for our children. Keep listening. Before we get to today's message, we want to tell you about a timely resource from Dr. Young called Healing Broken America. This powerful book identifies the five areas where America has lost its way and offers practical biblical remedies to these vital issues. We'll send you Dr. Young's book as our thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and others all over the world through this program. So call today to request your copy of Healing Broken America when you give and discover how you can be a catalyst for the revival, renewal, and refreshment of our nation. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has the Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now, here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Raising Lambs Among Wolves.
Dr. Ben Carson, close friend and brother of mine, as most of you know, one of the finest brain surgeons who ever lived. He operated primarily on children, Johns Hopkins. He explained to me about the brain. He talked about the legalization of marijuana. It sounds so great. He says, what happens with the legalization of marijuana to children and young people's brain is absolutely tragic. IQ. Sexual prowess, creativity, all of it gets dimmer and dimmer and dimmer because we need to know that the white gray matter and the gray matter, this white and gray matter that goes into the brain, it develops slowly through children, from birth, slowly through children. And God, in His great wisdom of creation, sees that we do not develop into puberty, until it comes time. Hair under your arms, beard, periods for females. What a tough time of transition when all of these hormones come upon you and come upon our children. At the same time, they're viewing all of this that will scar them sexually for the rest of their lives. The New York Post, just a couple of months ago, wrote an article, a 16-year-old girl. She tells her story. She said, when I was 12, I thought, you know, everything's messed up in me. I shouldn't be a girl, I should be a boy. And she said she told her parents. Her parents said, oh, we love you, and we want to make sure that You do whatever you want to do and become whatever you want to become, because everybody told her that gender is fluid. By the way, when did biology become bigotry? When did that happen, you know? She said, when I was 14, I began getting repressants of my femininity. I began to get steroid, on and on. She said, when I was 15, I had a double mastectomy, waiting for a hysterectomy. Now, if you think this is rare, only in New York, wake up! Wake up! These operations are very, very expensive and very profitable for the surgeons and the doctors who play this deadly game. And in the article, she said, I'm now 16. And she said she's now going through a process of trying to reverse what had been medically accomplished. And she said, my life is in shambles. Now, interesting enough, in two European countries where this has been going along, believe it or not, longer than even the United States in great numbers of kids, two European countries have had wide surveys with literally thousands of people who have gone through sex-altering procedures. And the results is overwhelming that most of them, an overwhelming majority of them, regret it ever happened at all. And we know that most people who go through this state of confusion and dysphoria, in about 4 years, they come out and begin to get their life together and understand that when God put a soul of a man in a man's body, that person is a man, and a soul in a female body, that person a female. Most of them in the long run, if radical things haven't happened, do figure it out. That's the good news. We live in a crazy, crazy world. And that's who we are. That's what's about. And it's a part of the deadly evil that we have here. I want you to listen to one of my favorite authors. I could tell you this, but I'm going to read it. Dr. Peter Kreft, Roman Catholic, teaches at Boston College. One of the greatest apologists for the Christian faith alive. Prolific author. I could tell you this, but I'm going to read you exactly what he said in this area. He asked the profound question that we need to have an answer to. Why do people want to change their gender? Think about it. His answer, a biblical answer. He says, because the devil hates them and hates their happiness, so he confuses them by making them hate something good, something God designed and made, and something natural, their bodies. The devil hates everything natural because God created it. So the devil always loves to pervert natural things. The devil loves that for the same reason he wants men to hate their masculinity and pretend to be women, and women to hate their femininity and pretend to be men. The devil loves all lies. John 8, he's a liar, he's a killer. He creates stumbling blocks. He especially loves to corrupt innocent and childhood. Therefore, he loves abuse, especially by people children look up to. These who rape children's souls as well as their bodies, instead of saving them, even by doctors who surgically mutilate a child's sex organs, instead of psychologically asking for the healing of their minds. Dr. Kreft writes, We should be compassionate toward people who want to change their gender. We cannot help them if we do not listen to them and understand them and feel that their souls are in the wrong bodies, that God made a mistake, that they know who they really are more than God knows. They need those struggling in these areas to find peace and unity in their identity. Our attitude towards transgender people should be the same as our attitude toward wounded soldiers. The church is indeed a field hospital on a battlefield. The church exists for the wounded. The church has only one qualification, and that is to be wounded. And ladies and gentlemen, in different sexual areas, we all qualify. Is that clear enough? Is that clear enough? Now, the many stumbling blocks that our kids have to face and stumble over, to tear down, jump over, go around, that's in our culture, they are especially found in our school systems. You know that if you hear what has happened in California or New York, Illinois, so many states in the curriculum, and even I said, well, those are those left-wing progressives over there, and they're doing crazy things to corrupt the children and the agenda, what they're teaching in school. Thank goodness I live in Texas. But then I remember Austin, California, Austin, Texas. Freudian slip. And I just bumped into something that in 220, the Austin Independent School District established a curriculum change. Listen, grades 3 through 8, Austin School District, our capital city, grades 3 through 8, you are to distinguish biological sex, gender expression, gender identity, sexual orientation, and romantic attractions, 3 through 8. Also, in the agenda in the school districts, you are to teach your children to attend a pride rally and to get to know personally an LGBTQ person, the agenda in the school districts today. Central to the curriculum is what I've already said. Sex assigned to your birth doesn't necessarily mean the sex you are to live with the rest of your life. Well, that's over in Austin, in Houston. Wait a minute. Did I hear about a drag queen story hour in the libraries of Houston? Did you remember that? And remember the PR that they put out about it. This isn't verbatim, but it's close. It says this will increase your children's understanding of literature. It is free. It is family friendly. And it will help you raise your children by hearing a drag queen, that is a male who has taken the identity as best they could of a female, tell stories to your children. You know, that was paid for by the taxes of the city of Houston through the library, a drag queen. I wonder what happened there. Do you know what happened? Let me tell you what happened. They discovered that this 32-year-old drag queen telling stories to children in the library was a registered sex offender. and evidently had raped an 8-year-old boy. Oh, yeah. And the library said, oh, we didn't do our due diligence. This is a great idea. We'll get back to you and attempt to do it again. Right here in perhaps the crime capital of America, Houston, Texas. So don't get too pious. There's no room for piousity in the whole area of sexuality in your life or in my life. The bottom line is, how do you raise lambs in a culture of wolves? Did you get that? How do we raise lambs in a culture, everywhere you look, of wolves? I looked up, how does a lamb defend itself? How do sheep defend themselves? They seem to be helpless to me. There aren't any claws. They can't run. They won't even drink moving water. How do we keep the wolves of the culture shearing our lambs before they're old enough to know what's going on in the whole confusing area of human sexuality? How do we raise lambs in a culture of wolves? I said, you know, lambs can't defend themselves. But I looked it up and I found I was sort of wrong. They're slow and they don't have any claws or they don't bite. But they do have some defense mechanisms that God has given to them. They have a keen sense of smell. Oh, way, way out there. They have a keen sense of hearing. They can hear the crumple of a leaf way out there. And an unbelievable sense of sight do these lambs. They can see for over 1,500 yards. That's 15 football fields in distance. And I thought about that. How do we raise lambs in a culture of wolves? But they have this kind of ability. I'll tell you what. We parents, those who are surrounded with children, let me tell you what. We need to develop our sense of smell. That gut feeling you have that something's not right with Billy or with Alice. You better exercise a keen sense of smell from your gut. We do around here because we see kids when we say the light has gone out. Hey, we notice it. All those in the business of bringing up lambs, you better develop a sense of smell. Also, you better learn how to listen. Don't talk so much. Listen, listen. Listen, and ask God to help you to listen to those lambs. And then you have to see. You have to see who they're with, the families of their friends, where they go, and that head down in that cell phone all the time. You had better be sure what's on that cell phone, in that computer, and in that lamb top, or I'll tell you, the wolves will destroy your lamb. The lambs have one other defense mechanism. It's the shepherd. It's the good shepherd, Christ. It's a shepherd of mom and dad. It's a shepherd of godly, loving friends. It's the shepherd you find in the body of Christ, the church. If you're trying to bring up your kids without them being faithful in training and nurture and right relationships in the body of Christ, let me tell you, there will be shepherds that'll help you build the right stuff in their lives to get them through this world and not be sheared by the wolves that are everywhere. The shepherd. Also, shepherds have with them, really many times they have with them something else. They have a sheepdog or sheepdogs, don't they? To help keep the flock together. And when one of these lambs or the ewe or the ram in a herd of sheep, they are alerted by anything, you know the first thing the lambs do? They all run together in a congregation. They all run together with the male, with the female, with the ewe and the lamb. And then there are sheepdogs there who herd them, who will protect them, who will fight for them. But you know what happens so many times in our culture? What happened in the book of Isaiah? Listen to this. Sheepdogs, the watchman. It says, Isaiah chapter 56, his watchmen, his sheepdogs are blind. All of them know nothing. All of them are mute dogs, unable to bark, dreamers lying down who love to slumber. And the dogs are greedy. They are satisfied. And there are some shepherds who have no understanding. They have turned to their own way. Let me tell you something. In all the institutions that God created, the family, government, the church, we are the watchdogs to assist the shepherds. And we can't be silent. We have to bark, bark, bark. All of this craziness has been under the pietistic cover of, well, we have to love everybody. In weeks to come, this book will give us a clear definition of what love is, and it's a million miles from what the wokies would define.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Most parents today are not raising their children. The culture is. Nowhere do we see the work of Satan more clearly than in the sexualization of our kids, destroying their identity, confusing their gender, causing unresolved guilt and self-hatred. Jesus is not neutral when it comes to children. And as Christ followers, we are not to be neutral either. We must protect our children. The church's role is to be a hospital on the battlefield. The church exists for the wounded. We must love, accept, listen to, and help parents and young people alike. We need to permeate this culture with light into the darkness. That's your calling. That's your destiny. That's my destiny. That's your calling, my calling, all of us. The challenge to you this week has become that light that is so desperately needed. That's the only answer for you and for me and for America in the 21st century.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has encouraged you with the proven truth of God's Word, and we'd love to strengthen you further with a powerful book by Dr. Young. It's called Healing Broken America. In it, Dr. Young clearly defines the five areas where America has lost its way and offers some common sense, biblically based remedies for bringing a nation back from the brink. This timely resource is our thanks for your gift of support to keep this program going strong. So call now to request Healing Broken America when you give to reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. Thank you. Call 1-800-350-WALK. That's 1-800-350-WALK. 9255. We're glad you joined us today on The Winning Walk. Come back tomorrow for a very special episode as Dr. Young interviews Dr. Ben Carson about critical race theory.